Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello, welcome to this year's Must Hear Music podcast. We're a little behind the times, so I'm not going to come up with any excuses, but so 2016 is upon us, but we are doing our best of 2015 albums/songs podcast right now, you know, which is fine. I think the year always begins pretty slow for music, so we're really not like missing a ton of must cover stuff. I hope that's not going to piss some people off.
Big diss to the artists who dropped albums on Friday.
Well, we haven't heard those yet. anyways, but we also have a couple of returning favorites, fan favorites. So
wow.
Probably.
I didn't know I had any fans. I don't think I
Well,
did.
You weren't the one I was talking about.
I definitely don't.
So we've got returning homecoming king, Jason Lipschutz is sitting here with us.
Hey,
welcome
guys.
Back.
Hey.
It's so good to have you here.
Guest
it's
star.
It's very exciting. Guest star,
wow.
Jason Lipschutz.
Thanks, man.
And then Natalie Weiner, who hasn't been on the podcast in a while and is now officially at Billboard. So congratulations.
Yay. Thank you.
On that. And then Chris Payne, who's, you know, just here.
Still here. Nothing exciting.
It's a good motto.
Yeah, that's Chris for you.
Wow.
So we each have a couple albums we're going to be talking about. We're going to be pimping, if you will. And that is a really cheesy segue into the first one we're talking about.
I didn't get that. It's been a long day.
Which is, okay, I want to say, before we get into this, we have like two albums on our like eight are ones that you almost assuredly expect. The rest are kind of more left field. So,
okay.
But we're going to start with one of the more obvious ones. No slur to that, but Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly, which has been topping many year-end lists, including Billboard's own, and that is one of Natalie's picks. And before I toss it over, I mean, I just say, like, you know, even as much has been said about it, like, I feel like we just have to talk about it because, to me, this is, like, the one album that's the clear, like, five-star album of this last year.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, definitely. I think sort of the fact that from literally the moment it came out, it's kind of, like, been an overarching topic in music conversations of this year. Like, it's just sort of on every level, like on an influence level, on sort of a political level, and on an artistic level, which I think is sort of most fundamental. It's just, it's been really important. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. I mean, Kendrick has obviously proven himself kind of a singular voice in hip hop, but it was also, I think, really about the community of artists that he put himself in to create this album. Like, not a lot of people in 2015 had the chance to, like, really just sit there for a year and a half and work with whoever they wanted to, you know? So he had that luxury and he made the most of it. I mean, you know, Snoop Dogg, Pharrell, obviously, and then a whole host of, like, LA people who nobody had really heard of and mm-hmm. who now are mainstream-ish. You know, and so just
and
it was
a
very
jazz musicians.
I didn't.
One of your
I wasn't
causes.
Even gonna go there, but yeah, there were some jazz musicians. Joe, thanks for pointing that out. but yeah, it was just like a very carefully crafted album that I think had a really sort of meaningful and complicated message that, for me at least, was very impactful. And it was one of the few albums that I actually listened to like all year long. So,
Yeah, I think we can all agree, and especially Natalie, that jazz music's completely dead. But Kendrick, he reminded us of a style that we've all forgotten, especially Natalie. So I'm obviously kidding. I'm just back to troll. But speaking of trolls, did you see the whole troll movie with the Justin Timberlake?
We're already getting off on a tangent.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, right?
No, it's terrible. Justin Timberlake's next song will be for the Trolls movie. It's going to be so dumb.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Also, he voiced Boo Boo Bear in the Yogi Bear movie, so sometimes I just don't know what that guy's doing.
Oh,
you know?
Come on.
He's getting money. Is what
he's getting money. He's getting that DreamWorks money. That's anyway, so aside from trolling Natalie and everyone else, no, I, you know, it's funny because we talked about, I've gone many ways with this album where it came out and I was like, wow, blown away. And then I kind of put it down and I was like, oh, I'll listen to this later. And then I kind of felt like it was overrated. And then I gave it another listen. I was like, it's definitely overrated. And then I gave it another listen and I feel like, wow, I get it again. And like, I just feel like it's the type of project that more than anything challenges listeners. And I feel like that's becoming more and more rare. And kudos to someone who is a mainstream star for making that decision, because, you know, when it came out, we all sort of said, like, this could have been an album full of, like, Mad City-esque songs. Mm. And it wasn't. And I give him credit for zigzagging and making something that's powerful but also doesn't really fit into any kind of box.
Yeah, did anyone get to see him? Because I didn't. But when he toured behind it a couple months ago, actually...
Yes.
So how did that go? Because I know he delayed playing most of the songs from To Pimp a Butterfly Live because he didn't have the band, the backing arrangements together to really make them happen. So how was that?
I mean, I kind of have beef with Kendrick about this because I was sad that he didn't take the people from the album on tour. Like, I sort of expected him to do that just because, you know, it was, like, possible. Like, he did it on Colbert, you know, but then he didn't do it for his tour. But I actually saw him with the National Symphony Orchestra in D.C., which was, like, I mean, it was amazing. Like, it sounded incredible. The songs are complex, and they are well served by, you know, live musicians performing them. And everybody loved it, you know. It was just, like, his fans are devoted. You know, it's funny because I feel like the critical conversation about him is so divided. But then, like, people love Kendrick. Like, people love that album and his music. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like even though the critical conversation, like, divided as in some people are like, this is a great album, and other people are like, this is a good album.
Yeah.
Not as great.
But
as
also,
everyone.
There's been so many think pieces like, how, is this really, like, good or what? I don't know. It's
good
just
voice.
People like to, like...
I'm sorry.
People like...
But no, I know who you were impersonating with that piece, and, like, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty accurate.
I don't know. I think there's kind of, like... People like the backlash critically is way stronger than the backlash publicly, if that makes sense.
That's definitely true. I mean, I don't really have anything to add other than like when you do that year end Spotify thing where it tells you what you listen to, I was surprised that far and away this was the album I listened to the most.
Yeah.
Not like, I mean, I guess I should know because I listened to it, but like I just didn't realize. Like, I think one thing that gets lost, or at least that I didn't understand, a lot of people were like, this is a great album, but it's difficult. It's just. It's a complex listen, and like for me, like it was actually just a fun album to put on.
Yeah.
I mean, it is complex, but it's not like a hard album to listen to. Like, I can put it on and listen to like the majority of it easily, like while cooking or cleaning or whatever. So
yeah, I agree.
I don't quite get that whole like, you know, this is too challenging for the mainstream. Like, I think people like it. I don't think it is really that. Anyways. Well, let's listen to one of the songs from it. Which one do you want to listen to, Natalie?
Oh, that's a tough call. I mean, I think All Right is kind of, you kind of have to.
All
it's
right.
Just like...
Here we go. Let's listen to some All Right.
Never tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a motherfucking gangster in silence for the record. Tell the world I know it's too late. Boys and girls, I think I've gone crazy. Trying to side my vices all day. Won't you please believe when I say. When you know we've been hurt, been down before. Nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like we're...
All right, so that was some Kendrick, as you undoubtedly know. Next up, let's talk about a favorite from Fuse's Jason Lipschutz.
Hey, man.
So,
I like, can I just very quickly. Like, yes. It was just really funny at the beginning where you were like, welcome back, Jason, like, didn't really, like, explain anything. But I'm...
Because all the listeners know who you are.
All the listeners know you. All of them. Story.
Yo, your reputation precedes you,
No, that's
Jason.
Not true at all. I just wanted to say I'm happy to be back. I missed podcasting.
I guess, so Jason was one of the founding members of the Mustard.
I don't have to make it a big thing, but...
And
it is a big thing, Jason.
Started the first
don't
Billboard
discount
podcast
your efforts.
Ever.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's like, I guess I am a big deal.
No, it's not true.
And he's not returning for the Pop Shop podcast, so this is an exclusive. Well,
you know, it's
must cheer exclusive.
I feel kind of bad because Keith is gonna the head of the Pop Shop. He's gonna listen to this and get really pissed at me because I'm coming back to you guys before coming back to him. But I want to go to
maybe
LA.
Maybe he should have asked. Yeah.
Maybe he should have asked. Touche. Anyway, I'm sorry to cut you off.
All right. Well, I was gonna cut you off. Or I was going to just toss it to you anyway.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Christine and the Queens, self-titled debut, came out this year, is one of your picks.
Yeah,
so
this album came out after I left Billboard, and yes. I listened to it like nonstop for the past few months. I still listen to this album a ton. Christine and the Queens is a project from a French pop artist, Christine and the Queens, and... It's just so, I mean, have you guys had time to spend time with it at all? I know it's like a little bit under the radar in terms of like, I didn't really see it on any year-end list or anything. It's kind of why I wanted to choose it for this show. But
yeah, I just checked it out today.
Yeah.
Me too.
I really, really, really like this album. It came out on Atlantic, and I just think that it's so inventive in a way that I love about my favorite pop albums. Like, none of the songs really sound that similar. She plays with a lot of different like R&B styles, but also it's very like synthesized and electronic, and I think that her voice is just really, really compelling, and she kind of does things that, like, there's one song where she'll reinterpolate Heartless by Kanye West. There's another song where she duets with Perfume Genius. Like, there are a lot of things that appeal to me, and like, personally, but I also think that even if, like, just for a casual listener, I just think that this is super, super well done. So it's one of my favorites of the year.
Yeah, and I'm looking now. She has some hits in France.
Yeah, she's a big deal in France. And it's funny, we were in France in September, and she was like, we kept hearing Christine and the Queen songs on radio, which was a little jarring, but
people like, you have never heard of Christine and the Queens, foolish American journalist.
While throwing baguettes at my head. Yeah.
What if there are French listeners to the podcast, Joe? Didn't you ever think
about
that?
That was a loving impersonation.
Apparently. But yeah, if you haven't checked out Christine and the Queens, she opened for Marina and the Diamonds on her U.S. tour. Yeah, and like, to kind of give you a little bit of a semblance of what she sounds like, but she's her own thing, and her shows are so cool. Like, she has all choreography for every song, and she has like backup dancers, and it's really, really trippy. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm curious. Did you see the show before you heard the album?
No, I heard the album first, okay. And then I really wanted to see the show, and it was awesome. I didn't realize that she did the whole choreography thing until I saw her, though.
Yeah, because someone did an interview with her here, which I edited, so I listened to her, and my first take, I wasn't that into it, but then I kept hearing, well, not kept, but from a few people, like, oh, she's really good, and they were like, you got to check out the live show, which I still haven't done.
Yeah.
So, but returning to it, like, I do... like this, it's what you said, it's a really like eclectic listen, and also just a very like well constructed album. The Perfume Genius duet is really good.
Yeah,
that
it's
one
awesome.
Like stands out to me.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah.
No, I liked it too. I thought like you said, it's a nice sort of, I definitely get a tiny bit of the Carly Rae vibe, like the 80s mm-hmm. throwback, but this has like sort of more of an R&B tinge, which makes it more palatable to me personally.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's got a really nice voice. And like Joe said, I think it's a well, just like well thought out, well presented piece.
It's, and we really haven't talked about the lyrics at all, but a lot of the album deals with like gender confusion, and she spends a lot of the album like, talking about like differences between boy and girl and wanting to be a boy, and there's like internal monologues or internal dialogue, sorry, that it's really kind of out there, but in a way that's digestible. And yeah, I like it a lot. So,
what about UC Pain?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, I listened to it once today, getting prepped for the podcast. And yeah, I get what you're saying, Jason, with working with a lot of different styles that kind of all fit together in a sense of like some pop leaning R&B, more just like straight pop stuff. Like you mentioned how she was on tour with Marina and the Diamonds. A lot of like different styles within like alt pop, which makes sense for each other. And yeah, and an interesting persona to go with that.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you guys enjoyed.
All right. Well, let's listen to one of the songs from it. Which one should we listen to?
I really like No Harm Is Done.
All right. No Harm Is Done. Let's give it a spin. Here's Christine and the Queens, self-titled album that came out this year. Well, okay, so self-titled debut in the U.S., but what about France? Does she have other stuff?
No, I think this is the proper debut. Yeah.
Okay, all right, let's listen to it.
If it's where we are, no harm is done yet. And if the situation, no harm is done.
All right, that was Christine and the Queens. We've done a Natalie pick, we've done a Jason pick. Let's do a Chris pick. Chris pick trademark. Which one should we? Let's do Health.
Yeah.
So
Health.
You picked the Health album, Death Magic, which I believe we've talked about a little bit on the podcast before.
Yep.
But so what made this for you like one of your best albums of the year?
Yeah, I wrote really hard for this album this year, and I think that people who came across it and listened to it tended to really like it, but it kind of just didn't do much outside of that niche. So I've just been trying to like get people to pay attention to it because I think it's just one of the most interesting, even if you don't love it, I think one of the most interesting rock albums to come out this year. Basically, Health are this four-piece formed in LA like in the late 2000s, like 2007, 2008. In this noise rock scene in LA, and they kind of took a while in between their last album and making this one and wanted to move more from this like kind of grainy, hard to digest noise sound to something more accessible. They worked with this guy Andrew Dawson, who engineered all the Kanye albums, and kind of made a heavy rock album that was produced and engineered the way a hip hop album would come out. And it's really catchy, and I just love what they do with like guitars and drums and rock instruments.
Yeah, no, I love this album too. We geeked out about this album. Maybe not as hard as C-Pain, but I feel like they're in this space. I was thinking about this. I feel like they're in this space because they kind of got blog love like 5 or 6 years ago. That you get into this space where you get blog love like too long ago, and nobody really pays attention to you like
years
later.
Yeah, you're like passé.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, of course I've heard of Health. What are they, from 2009?
Mm.
So it's...
It sounds like something Jason would say.
Great. I'm that guy, I guess.
What do you think about clap your hands, say yeah, Jason? No, I'm kidding.
I listened to them when I was like 14, but whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, but... I
mean, you're that guy then.
Wow. But
yeah, I listened to them when I was 14.
Whatever. Hashtag just facts.
But anyway, there's nothing like sexy about liking the new Health record, but yeah, it's just a really great record.
She didn't see pain that way.
No, I mean, no. There is this thing within like indie music and alternative rock where if it goes so much around hype cycles, where if it's not like this new band getting tons of love from the right tastemakers with like a debut, it's just sort of like, ah, whatever, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's sort of the reason why like I feel like not many people, it's like, you know, it's just natural. It's like, what, like there's a new Animal Collective album coming out soon. And like, what else is there to say about Animal Collective? Like, I think people are kind of,
you'll find out
looking
with my Animal Collective interview posting in a few weeks.
Wow. Nice plug, man. But, but anyway, no, I just think that it's kind of natural to, especially in the indie world, which is very much like, elitist leaning to always look for the next thing and be like, oh, like, who cares about health? I'm into beach slang. And you can be into both. That's all I got.
You can be me.
You can be. You can
rep really hard for try, those albums all year.
You can be C-Pain. So,
if you dream it, you can do it. As they say.
Don't dream it, be it. I'm gonna go with that.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, the health record. That was one that I only listened to the first time around because of C-Pain, and I'm glad I did. I like that. It's it just has like a heavy, like, hits you. Like, the way it's mixed is just, like, a really heavy sound in the way that you kind of don't get with a lot of albums these days, which I'm not saying is good or bad necessarily, but it is kind of refreshing to hear. There's something about it, like, that reminds me kind of just, like, the way when you listen to a Liars album, like, even though the volume isn't, like, sky high, it just has this really, like, forceful impact, and that's kind of what I got from this that I liked.
Yeah, when I talked to them, they were telling me, like, look, so when a typical teen listens to the radio today, what's going to get them amped up is not really going to be, like, rock music. That's not going to, like, shock people anymore, you know? What it is like, that language of heavy bass music, you know? Mm-hmm. That would even be in, like, a Katy Perry song. So they basically wanted to take that language of music of, like, heavy electronics and transport it into rock music.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, I mean, nothing really sounds like this, so it's going to be hard to find an audience, but, like, whatever. It's what we want to do.
Well, it's good. Rebels. I mean, you know. Yeah. No, it seems, like, as electronic to me as, like, rock, you know. I feel like in terms of appeal, but what do I know? Do you have thoughts on it, Natalie?
I mean, I think my thoughts have not necessarily evolved from our podcast when we discussed the single, but I do appreciate it.
Refer back on a to podcast number
whatever.
Wow, 32B.
But yeah, I think, like, it's something that I definitely appreciate on an intellectual level and maybe less on a visceral level, although I would like to see their live show, definitely. I think that would be dope. But yeah, I mean, I listened to it and I'm like, yeah, this is really good. I haven't necessarily gone back and listened on repeat, but it's a cool and interesting and different sound, which is always good in an age of consensus criticism to have something that doesn't sound like everything else.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
See Pain going against the grain.
Going against the consensus criticism.
All right, well, let's listen to some health. Which song do you want to do, Chris?
Let's do Stone Fist. I think that was the single you were talking about.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, this is Health, Stone Fist from Death Magic. All right, that was New Health. Continuing on our Best of 2015 Much Your Music Podcast Roundup, I'm going to go with one of my picks. This is, I'm already smiling. So we don't have Erica with us, RIP. She's not dead. She is alive.
Not dead. Joe, that's very offensive.
She's not in the room, so kind of dead. But this is one that we've talked about a lot on the Must Your Music Podcast this year. And you know what? We're going to talk about it a little bit more. So Dainty Trumpet and The Social Experiment, the band featuring Chance the Rapper, album was Surf. This was one of my, like, maybe second or third favorite album of 2015, and I love it. It's so good. It's a rare, like, modern, upbeat, as well as, like, stylistically experimental hip-hop album. Like, I feel like so many rap albums, they, like, kind of pick one tone and go with it, and this one is, I don't want to say all over the place, but, like, musically, it really touches on, like, various decades and genres. It's very inventive. It's good. And when it came out, it just received, like, I would say, like, near universal acclaim. But when End of the Year List came out, like, this one, I don't know if it got forgotten or if people just ultimately decided they didn't give a shit about it, but, like, it just wasn't as represented.
I don't care.
Yeah. I was going to make some, like, Surf got washed away into the ocean, but I'm not even going to bother with that.
It's better that you didn't.
It really is better I didn't. But I don't know. Yeah, the year ended, and I just didn't hear a lot of people repping for it, so I wanted to pimp it once again on this podcast, because I thought it was just incredible.
Yeah, what? Stop pimping things.
That's not what we're doing here.
I don't know. What thoughts do you guys, you know,
yeah,
Dainty Trumps?
It's really good. Dainty I think, Trumps. I don't know...
Do you think it's a Trump thing? People are like, well, I hate Trump, so Dainty Trump.
I think that the fact that the word trumpet contains the word Trump is why people left it off the year-end list.
Yeah.
Probably, and I think you've cracked the code.
I think that, here's what I'll say. I think that it's a really good project. I think that it's not a mind-blowing project, which is fine. But what I will say is I don't think any artist working today has, like, a higher approval rating right now than Chance the Rapper.
That is true.
Like,
that is
do you
true,
know?
Man.
I don't know anyone. If I was, like, if I went on Twitter right now and I was like, Chance the Rapper sucks, I'd get burned down. My apartment would get burned down.
That's because he's literally just a smiling beam of light, like,
yeah,
in the world.
Exactly.
He's so bright and sweet and smart and happy.
Yeah.
Like.
It's true. And you know, it's. I think maybe it missed out on Year End List because I think people are waiting for the next Chance solo project a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just me
and
conjecturing,
also,
but I don't know.
I don't know. It may even almost be like the reason you're describing, like, because he's just so genuinely likable, that almost makes him, like, innocuous. You know,
yeah.
It's sort of castrates him musically, if you will.
Wow.
Like,
that's pretty extreme.
It's very
I'm just saying, though, you know, like, he doesn't really have the sort of, like, temperamental artist persona. Like, people love Future. Future is, like, conflicted and terrible, and,
yeah,
like, people perceive that as deep, you know,
right,
where in a way that they maybe don't think about Chance the Rapper that way,
which
doesn't make any sense.
Which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, rag on Future, but, like, that album sounded all the same. Like, he has a good sound, but... It
Joe,
was the
you
same
don't have
song
to
over
tell
and over.
Me about how Future
but
is
four,
terrible person,
four albums in 1 year.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So prolific.
I mean, I personally like Dirty Sprite 2 more than Surf, but
I'll
leave now. That's why.
Yeah. That's why we killed you off on the podcast. We killed off your character.
This podcast
I wrote
has
that
grown
on Billboard
violent.
And you guys were like, goodbye. Good luck.
You are the weakest link.
Oh my God. That's
sorry.
A,
wow.
Yes.
I'm like,
a deep
I'm
breath.
I watched that when I was like 14, Natalie.
Me too.
That's weird because we're different ages. But okay. Yeah. Anyways, I got derailed. Yeah, does anyone want to add anything else about Dainty Trumps?
You're looking at me.
I'm looking at you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I honestly had forgotten this album came out this year.
Maybe
I really
because it
enjoyed...
wasn't on Spotify. Maybe it's because,
it
like...
No,
Spotify.
I listened to it on
oh,
Spotify.
Oh, it is on Spotify now?
Like, yeah,
oh,
this is good. But, yeah, I mean, I unfortunately have to... Don't get as much of a chance as I'd like to listen to new hip-hop releases just because... My beat is rock and alternative, so I have to devote a lot of time to staying up on that. So sometimes these things will slip through to me, and I guess when it isn't getting heralded in, like, these hype cycles for whatever reason, which we've discussed at the end of the year, things slip through. But, yeah, it's – I would say that it didn't sound like a ton of other hip-hop releases, especially, like, production-wise, on its level at least of that popularity this year.
Yeah.
Perhaps. I would add that, like, Sunday Candy is one of my favorite songs of the year, and I think that, like,
yeah.
I like certain songs on it more than the album as
okay,
a whole.
I'm going to put this out here. Okay. Here's the thing that just popped into my head. Like, Chance the Rapper has sort of embraced this almost like schmaltz, like with his band, you know, they're very like smiley and bright. Sunday Candy is obviously the prime example of that. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe Sunday Candy like paved the way for Hotline Bling. Suddenly, Sunday Candy like readied the public consciousness to hear sort of elevator music and like be happy with it. I don't know. This is my new hypothesis.
Or the song that Drake jacked to make Hotline Bling.
Oh,
that
yeah.
one
I mean,
also kind of paved the way for it.
Chris, obviously, but I'm just saying in like a broader
yeah,
way.
Yeah. That's an interesting point.
You know what
point.
I mean? Like sort of schmaltz and hip hop, my new thesis. Anyway. Mm.
It's true, because Drake was never schmaltzy before Hotline Bling. He was just a hard-hitting rapper until...
Okay, but he wasn't, like, grinning, like...
No, you're right. I totally... I think that's an interesting point.
I like whatever you did there with, like, Drake
Shut
the puppet.
Up,
I like that.
You know what? I can only dance to Ciara. That's a proven fact. So I'm not even going to try and dance.
So are you... So we need to pause the podcast for a second. So are you only... So... Natalie is a Seattle Seahawks fan.
Yes.
They're playing in the playoffs. And you said if they make the postseason, you're only listening to Macklemore and Ciara.
Recreationally. My job, thankfully, is listening to music. So.
But like, so is that, are you still holding to that?
Yes.
Wow. How is
that
going?
I deleted all the music off my phone except, and I just downloaded Ciara and Macklemore this morning.
Wow.
So yeah, I discovered a new Ciara deep cut I didn't know about. So that was an exciting time. But Macklemore is still terrible. But go Seahawks and Seattle. Macklemore, if you're listening, this is how it has to be.
Well, he's got a deep catalog. You can probably go back like 10 years of Macklemore.
But he only has one album on Spotify, and I'm not going to pay money to get other Macklemore albums. So.
Macklemore mixtapes, you could probably get them for free.
Yeah, they're, yeah.
Maybe.
I'll send you some
the deep
like,
cuts.
Yeah, some Dropbox.
you actually have the whole Macklemore
course.
Catalog
of course.
On your
I'll
computer.
Send you all the Macklemore adjacent artists too. Like,
can't do a Jason. I made a vow to the football gods, Jason. I cannot betray it.
Well,
the Ryan Lewis instrumental mixtape, just the beats.
Okay, Ryan Lewis.
The rejected
is,
beats.
I would actually rather listen to that. I like Ryan Lewis. I'm
good
not averse
Seattle.
To Ryan. Yes.
All right. Well, there you go. All right. Well, that was enough sports for one podcast. So let's listen to Slip Slide from Donnie Trump and the Social Experiment. Type of music astonishing them. If I plant one of my thoughts, marijuana would grow. And I'd be high enough to go where I wanted to go. Might be covered in glitter, but all of us go. My nigga got that loudness off of the low. And everybody's saying all of us go. All right, let's do what else do we got here? Let's do Kelsea Ballerini. So
yay.
Natalie reppin' country music.
Yeah.
Her album was The First Time, right?
Yes.
And I admittedly don't know much about Kelsea Ballerini. So tell us.
You're missing out, Joe/ listeners of the Must Hear Music podcast. You haven't yet explored Kelsea Ballerini and all her awesomeness. Basically, she's like sort of very much country's next big thing. Like she just, her first single came at the end of 2014. And, you know, got some radio play, but of course nothing major happened until the Taylor Swift cosign, which is, you know, integral to any young artist today. but in this case, I think, well, actually, as in most cases, she doesn't often rep people who are actually bad, but Kelsea is like a fantastic songwriter, especially given her age. I think she's like 22, maybe 23. And she's really like, if you can sort of get past the very country radio friendly veneer of her songs, which admittedly it's very poppy, it's very shiny, like super polished, but the songs themselves are great and really don't sound like other songs on country radio, to me at least. Like she's singing very distinctly from her own perspective of being a young woman in 2015, you know? It sounds very now, it sounds very personal, you know? And the records are intimate in that way, even if they don't really have that aesthetic. And if you listen to the album itself, some of the non-singles cuts, like Secondhand Smoke, and underage, I think. Like, they're these, like, very, like, beautiful ballads. Like, it's just, it's good stuff. Like, the whole album, basically, there's, like, two kind of duds, but it's almost good all the way through, which is a rarity, I think.
Yeah, I love how it opens up with the song called XO, which is, like, a hard-charging country rocker. And the second track is called Peter Pan, which is just this, glorious ballad. So right away, it's like, damn, Kelsey Bellerin, you can do, like,
She has bars.
You can do two very different styles really well, track one and two. Yeah. And that's not even the singles yet.
And the reason I actually even got into her was from seeing her in the Billboard office. She came through and sang some. She sang a couple songs back in March before the album came out, before anything happened. And it was just evident from, like, her singing with her guitar in their conference room. It was like, she has it. Like, she has the star quality. Like, she's an amazing performer.
That's what you said. You were like, you've got it, Kelsey.
I actually didn't adopt a British accent, but in my head, I had said that. So. And then I saw her live at, where was it? Webster Hall, maybe? Irving Plaza, something. And it was incredible. She was so, 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 so good. Her voice is bonkers.
Billboard Women in Music 2015.
Yeah, shout out. That too. But yeah, just check it out. Like, just, it might take, if you're not into country radio, it might take a little bit of getting used to, but once you give it a few spins, I think get into it.
It was a good year for country music for people who don't necessarily love country music, I feel like. If you just like Chris Stapleton and Casey and Sam Hunt and Kelsey.
Sam Hunt. I mean, that Sam Hunt was 2014.
Oh, well, come on, guys.
But
like,
it was.
But he was like, he had a huge impact in 2015.
I hate that argument so much. I had a fight with someone about Uptown Funk, but anyway.
Uptown Funk.
Came out in 2014, so it is not being
considered. But it was the first
right
lady's
now.
Favorite song of 2015, so are you going
to
argue with her?
Are you saying to
I am gonna argue with her.
Impeach?
Yeah, that's Michelle what I'm Obama. Saying. I'm saying impeach Mark Ronson, basically.
Wow.
You know, anyway. What? This isn't about Mark Ronson. This is about Kelsey Ballerini and how she's
It's a little
great.
Bit about Mark Ronson.
No.
And
Stop
I
trying to make it about Mark Ronson.
Well, cool.
Let's listen to some of it. Which song do you want to listen to?
Let's do Secondhand Smoke.
All right. Always the smoker, that Natalie Weiner. I'm just kidding. Natalie doesn't smoke. Don't
spread
don't
rumors.
Joe's trying to ruin my rep.
Please don't smoke.
You know, I did interview the chain smokers, and did you know that neither of them smoke?
Oh, that'll ruin
Fun though. Trivia fact.
Wow.
They picked the name for SEO. Anyway. All right, I'm done now.
All right, let's cut that out in the editing.
You don't think that's a fun trivia?
That's very fun.
I mean, to be real, lots of respected artists do that.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can't hate on that. In all seriousness.
Yeah, the Beatles picked their name for SEO.
Yeah.
They're like, this
it's
is
great
search
SEO
engine
too.
Optimization, guys.
It was George, actually, little known fact. George
invented SEO personally.
Ahead of their time. Yeah.
He was like, here's this fun
thing.
What
about the search engines?
The that quiet was... Beatle, except for when it came to internet.
Right. all right, let's listen to Kelsey Ballerini, Secondhand Smoke. All right, that's Kelsey Ballerini. Let's switch to another Chris pick, Grimes Art Angels. And this was one of my favorites of the year, too. Like, definitely in my top three.
Yeah, sort of like for indie music and alt pop, I'd say this was sort of that genre's answer to the Kendrick album this year in terms of critical consensus, as whack as critical consensus is or can be.
But sometimes, you know, sometimes things are good.
And don't hate yourself. Yeah. You know?
Like with these albums this year, just like, you can maybe get tired of seeing think pieces and reviews and whatnot popping up on your feed, but at the end of the day, it's like, the album's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, there's just like straight up pop hooks on the Grimes album. There's really like kind of out there stuff, like the song that she does with Aristophanes, this Taiwanese rapper, which is kind of a shorter screamy kind of track.
Yeah, that song's with a great bass line.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Kill V Mame, which is kind of like Grimes' answer to like an electronic, like sort of blog-friendly nu metal song. There's like nu metal guitars on the download going on this Grimes album. It's kind of awesome. So there's just a lot of stuff going on. And if she wasn't as good an artist without like this vision, it would just, it could be vision. Terrible, but like she makes it work so well.
Yeah, she's, I think like Vision.
Her last album was called Vision. Last album, I was calling Vision. Yeah.
That is an operative word. But it's true. Like she really, like you're absolutely right. Like what makes it work is that she has this overarching vision, because another one of the songs, and I can't think of the title, but is this like very like AM 70s California like pop that could be hokey.
Might be called California.
It is.
It
California.
Might be called California.
Yeah.
But it like sounds great and it totally works, and it's just, it's really impressive. I think she came from an album, Visions, that had like a really great underground critical rep, but then years passed, nothing was coming. She had the one Rihanna Reject song, which some people liked. I personally didn't care a ton about.
I thought it was awesome.
Well, I didn't.
But then she like she did some press, and people would always like take her Tumblr writings and like blow them up and just put them all everywhere. And so there was just all these reports of like, oh, is she changing her sound? Is she like rejecting her pop songs and whatnot?
Yeah, I think she, I mean, I don't think she fell victim to anything. But like before the album came out, there was definitely this sense of like she's become an artist that's been talked about more than has created music that people care about, you know, because she basically had like one album and one song that people cared about.
And she had albums before that, but they just
really under the radar.
Yeah, aside from like DIY circles anymore. Yeah,
they're her pre-vision stuff is so good.
I know it used to be on Spotify. I think it might be gone.
Like I know
Getty Primes is such a good album.
Like I know Pitchfork covered it, but I don't really recall much coverage like outside of that. Like it was basically Visions where it blew up.
Yeah, that's true. But this is the album where it's just like, okay, don't worry. Like she is a talent who will be around for like a long time. Like this is just like, I think it's a masterpiece. And even if you don't like it, like I can see why some people have been a little reticent to praise it. Like you have to appreciate how much there is going on with this, you know. It's really stylistically eclectic, and it's just, you know, it's one of those rare albums where it's like, okay, this person listens to a lot of different music and can successfully translate that into an album that sounds like different things. Because you always hear artists, they're like, oh, I listen to everything, but then their album just sounds like one thing. Like this really does sound like everything.
The one thing I will say about Grimes is that she's very much like a studio, like an amazing studio musician, producer. The live show is a lot of fun because the songs are so good. But as far as just like a live performer, it's, you know, it's fun, but it's not great. Like there's definitely room for improvement there. That's where like I think there's still
hot
development
takes.
Where...
Shots fired.
Shots fired.
I wasn't meant to be shots fired. I mean, like.
No, it's good. Criticism. That's the point.
Constructive. Constructive.
Yeah. Come on, Grimes.
Step it up.
I like. I actually kind of came around on this album. I didn't love it. I still don't think it's like the best album ever, but I think part of it is that I just love Vision so much. I loved that album. It's fantastic. And I feel like this one is a little bit more of a mishmash, but in a good way, and like obviously intended to be. But I think that like kind of picking its spots is just like you sit back and just watch it go. It's just really breathtaking. I just wanted to, the only thing I wanted to say is that I love the song with Janelle Monáe.
Yeah, that's when she has been playing live.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Cause like this might have changed over the past couple weeks, but when I saw her towards the beginning of her tour behind Art Angels, like several of the best, most well-known songs on the album, she just had still never played live. Like as far as I know, "Flesh Without Blood," which was the first video she shared from the album, she still never played that song live. So where I'm just saying is like, not saying it's a bad live show. There's just sort of things that you're like, huh? Mm-hmm. Like I wonder what's happening here. I wonder like where, you know. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. do you have thoughts, Weiner?
I feel like bad to be like a Grimes detractor because I don't really have like a coherent, I don't really have a great reason like not to like her. I don't think it's like bad. I just think it's that kind of synthy baby voice aesthetic is not one that I've ever liked. And so I listen to it and it just kind of makes me cringe, not because she's doing anything wrong, but just because it's sort of personally not appealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
So
it just happens to hit the wrong notes for you.
Yeah. Ha ha.
Good. I wasn't trying.
I mean, good music metaphor. I don't know. It's just, I have the same issue with churches. And I just, you know, I'm sorry. I
love churches.
Yo, dudes love churches. I have never met a woman who listens to churches. But anyway.
Really?
Really.
Wow. I feel like a lot, lots of people like them.
I know.
I kind of feel you on churches. Like, especially when the second album came out, I was like, because the first one's good, but it sounds like a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
And the second one just sounds like more of the first. And I was like, I don't really need more of this. It's like, just like we've had this since the 80s. Like, I don't need
like baby voices. I can't do baby voices.
Well, like one thing that came up when I was talking on my year-end podcast about the Grimes album, Jill Mapes was on and she was like, the song California, if Rihanna sung that song, it'd be a huge hit.
Yeah, for sure.
The thing is, Grimes, like what I was getting at with the live show, she's not a powerhouse vocalist. Mm-hmm. Like that's not her big strong point as an artist.
Yeah.
So she might never get anything close to that kind of appeal just because that's not what she does.
It's not the aesthetic, No, definitely. No, I feel that. I mean, it's cool. It's interesting.
It's cool. It's cool. All right. Well, let's listen to one of the tracks. Let's do, since we've talked about it a bit, Grimes, California from Art Angels. When you get bored of me, I'll be back on the show. And when the ocean rises up above the ground, baby, I'll drown in California. You only like me when you think I'm looking sad. All right, that's some new Grimes. Let's do another Lipschutz pick.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got Years and Years. The album is Communion.
Yeah, yeah. Your fave.
Okay, I think I need you to like sell us on this album. Like, give us the pitch.
None of you guys like Years and Years?
I'm okay. I like the song. King was the one we talked about in the podcast before, I think. I do really, really like that song. And the video is awesome. When I got into the album, I was all ready for the album. I was like, this is going to be good. And like, our friend and friend of the podcast, John Norris, is a big fan of Years and Years. So I was like, cool, excited for this record. And like halfway through, I was like, it's just, it sounds like, it sounds very modern. It sounds like of 2015 in a way that I don't consider to be a great thing necessarily. Yeah. Like it doesn't sound like a timeless dance pop record to me.
Yeah. I obviously love this album. Which is why I chose it. It's definitely one of my favorites of the year. I just think that it's very emotional and affecting in a way that I really like. I think that it kind of goes for it in, as I knock my bottle of water.
Watch out for that water bottle.
It kind of goes for it. And
Jason has a lot of feelings about this album. He's
so
gonna,
many
like,
years.
Years
and years of feelings behind this album. No, I just think that, you know, their arrangements, Ali Alexander's voice, their melodies, their big hooks, it's all meant to be very emotional. But I think it does so in a way that really speaks to me. I think that I think it can be seen as derivative, but I think that it's just so clean and so effective that I just kind of get wrapped up in it. I mean, I can listen to this is one of the few albums and one of the reasons why I love it. I really do listen to the whole thing straight through. It just kind of, there are up-tempo songs where you can really dance. There are like piano ballads that are really moving. And I think just the whole record is talking, it's mostly about relationships and romantic relationships, but I think it covers a lot of different angles to that. I think it covers a lot of different territory. And I just think that, like, there's nothing about this album that disappoints me at all. I just think that, like, everything is kind of firing on all cylinders, to use more colloquial phrases. But I don't know. I get wrapped up in it. I think that, like, maybe, I don't know. If you like King, like, they're Desire is an awesome song.
What was track? I'm bad with album, a song titles in the same or in the album for some reason. What's the third track called? That track.
Is it real?
Maybe, because I remember like
Shine. I think it's Shine.
Shine is amazing. Because I remember like knowing Desire and knowing King already from like last year when this album came out. Yeah. But then track one, which is definitely like a more down tempo version of their sound, and this one, those like really won me over with the album.
Yeah. No, I just listen. I think it's a really. I don't think it's a cool album. I think that it's just a very like.
Yeah, Joe. It's not cool enough for you.
Yeah, the thing, the thing about Joe is that he kind of like he checks the pitchfork. He's like, not best new music. See you later.
Smell you later.
Smell you later is what cool people say.
Yeah, typically. But, I don't know. I think that this is something that is worth checking out. But you know.
I feel like it's just maybe too many years. It's just like years and years.
You would rather have it years or years.
Yeah.
Or
years. And or years.
Yeah. Years and
minus
year.
A year.
Years and year. Years and minute. T-Pain, other than track 3 Shine, do you have thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I basically sums it up with what I said before. It was like I was very familiar with the track King. It was like their big debut single in 2014. Desire is also very good, so I was definitely interested to hear the album, and yeah, I came away from the album liking it, wanting to continue to be into them. Like I said, the track one, I don't recall the name of it, but
Foundation.
Yeah, Foundation kind of showed me like a different side of the Years and Years, and Ollie the singer, you know, really mastering like a more emotional, down-tempo, slow song to open up the album, which really wasn't what I was expecting, because yeah, like, Churches play a similar style of synth pop to them, and I love Churches and love the two albums they've done, but it is basically the same vibe, same sort of track over a whole album. And so when I approach like another synth album, like Years and Years, I would think it might be the same thing, but right off the bat, it's like, oh, it's not.
All right. Well, let's listen to Shine then from Years and Years Communion. All right, so that was Years and Years. Next and last, we've got one of my picks. This is another. So before I was saying, I was talking about Donny Trumpet and like, oh, I don't think it got enough love at the end of the year. That album did get some love. This was an album that genuinely just didn't get any love. Like, sales were dismal. Like, it missed most like critical lists. But really is one of my absolute favorites of the year.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Your debut album.
I'm winking at you because I think you know where I'm going with this.
I have no idea, actually.
Okay, Roisin Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
Irish electropop singer.
Oh, that's great.
Album's called Hairless Toys. Hairless Toys is a dumb name for an album. The cover is kind of weird. I feel like she was so fashionable on her last album, like, cycle.
I know.
And her hair looks pretty weird on the cover of this. Like,
that's
I know
fine.
She's a
get
mom
it
now.
Together.
Maybe it's that, like, you become a mom and
it's not about her hair. It's about her music.
It's about her hair less.
Why don't you like mom?
No, I'm just getting rid of any possible critiques, which are album title and cover. Not crazy about everything else I adore about this album. There's not like the pop songs that were on her last one, Overpowered. However, it's just like, such a interesting, like, dark electronic pop experience.
Super weird. Yeah.
It's just very, it's weird, but not in a, like, isolating way. Like, that's one thing. And I love The Knife as well, but that's definitely an electronic pop group that can get, like, weird to the point of aggressive isolation. This is not like that at all. Like, this is very just, like, kind of introspective, beautiful, like, singer-songwritery electropop.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of people do it, and I just feel like almost no one else does it as good as her. I don't know what it is. Like, I just, when I'm listening to her, I'm like, everything just seems absolutely perfect with, like, the song.
Yeah.
Like, every choice she makes. So I'm very into it. I wish it had gotten more attention.
Yeah.
Joe
and I are OG Roisin Murphy ride or dyers. And yeah, I agree. I think that it's definitely, for me, it's a step down from Overpowered just because that album was so incredible. But I think that this is, if she wasn't going to make a pop album, like, this is the best, that best outcome, I guess, because it's just like, it's so wacky and so playful, and it's just kind of all over the map, but it's held together by her songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like a great voice.
And a great voice.
Did you guys have thoughts on this one?
I enjoyed it. I really liked kind of the clean production, you know? It was, like, experimental, but not necessarily in, like, a cloudy way, which I think is kind of on trend with, like, alt pop, if you will. Instead, it's like more like chamber pop, like very clean, kind of like in a small room, just like intimate, but still eclectic. I don't know. I was into it. I want to listen to it more, but unfortunately it was not on Spotify. So
it is on Spotify.
Yes, it was.
It was? Okay.
Wow.
I couldn't find it. I'm bad at typing.
Wow. Someone can.
Natalie, are you a plant for Apple streaming?
Yes.
Or no, are you a Tidal?
Oh, wow.
No.
Wait,
I only use Spotify.
So you were like, I wish I could listen to this in FLAC lossless quality, this Roisin Murphy album. How can I do that?
Man.
No, I only use Spotify. Spotify, if you want to give me a free subscription, just hit me up. I will chill. I don't care.
So much we're going to have to edit out of this podcast. Oh, no. Same shameless request for free shit. And then I just swore.
We can't swear because
we can swear.
We swear on my podcast.
You already
a
dropped
lot.
The F-bomb. Yeah. Although I did hear a story. Shout out to one of our bosses. He was saying he was listening to it with his family, and when Chris dropped the F-bomb,
whoa,
he was like, "Oh, I better turn this
oh,
off."
Oh yeah,
in the
he
car.
Told me that story too. Oh.
So you ruined his family's trip.
Nice.
So I hope you're happy.
Family. Nice. They're all alone now. Anyway, sorry.
Anyways, yeah, Chris, do you want to weigh in on this without salty language?
I just got to give it a cursory listen today. I knew she had a deep catalog because Jason, we've known each other for a while, and I know this has been an artist who's come up for your favorite albums years and years in the past. And it was an interesting pop sound. Natalie touched on it. The this more gentle, you know, you said chamber to kind of talk about the production, how it sounds. And it works. It's she has a really good voice. And I would like to dig into more of her stuff. Like, what's maybe like the go-to album for her?
I'd say definitely Overpowered. Yeah. Jimmy has two other solo albums.
Ruby Blue is really, really good too.
That's definitely my least favorite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think Ruby Blue is awesome.
Fight.
Yeah.
A very very good catalog that elicits different opinions for what's best.
Mm-hmm. But I think Overpowered, the second album, is the strongest for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, well, let's listen to one of the tracks. So it's Roisin Murphy. In case you don't know how to spell that, that's R-O-I-S-I-N. And let's listen to Evil Eyes, so second track.
My spell on you.
All right, that's what we have for our recommendations from, or I guess really more of our favorite picks for albums from 2015.
We still recommended them.
Yeah, we still recommend them, I guess. We're saying they're must hear, so that is a recommendation in itself. Jason.
Yeah.
It's fun that you're here. This
I know,
is so
man.
Great.
Aww. I know. I miss you guys. I'm going to, I'll be back, you know. But what's cool is that, so like I've hinted on Twitter and I don't know where else I would hint at things, but I've said that I'm going to be doing a podcast at Fuse, and I can say now that it's looking like it's going to start next month. So
Billboard can exclusively reveal that Fuse podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Start.
Wow.
So I think you'll, because I miss
coup.
It, man. You guys don't know. Like I loved podcasting, and
we miss you, and we think we know.
Yeah. No, but like it's so weird, like not doing this regularly. So man, always happy to stop by. Thank you guys for having me back.
Do you ever just like sit, now that you're not podcasting for the moment, like sit in your room with a comb and you're like, the thing is about Chris Stapleton.
Well, that's what I do with my wife. And she's right. like, I'm going to bed. And I'm like, no, you have to hear me the chart stat of the week. And she's like, no, right. stop. But no, I don't do that. But yeah,
a likely
no.
story.
but yeah, happy to be back and happy 2016, guys.
Yeah.
Happy
and Chris and Natalie, thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
And thank then we've you. Got a 2016 ahead of us with some good stuff. Before we sign off, is there anything everyone wants to say what they're looking forward to this year musically?
I'm really excited right now for a new album from Chairlift. It is fantastic, and I think they have a good following now, but I think a lot more people will be into this kind of alt-pop duo called yeah. Chairlift.
That Romeo song is awesome.
Romeo is awesome.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out. I don't know. I just hope Frank Ocean drops an album, but that's sort of a nebulous wish at this point.
Yeah.
But a girl can dream, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I was just making like a list of like albums we hope to hear in 2016, and like one name came up. I was like, oh, I really and it was Robin, and I was like, man, it'd be so cool if Robin actually dropped an album this year. That'd be awesome. And there's no like real indication, but like she's been making music over the past few years, like maybe it'll happen. That'd be so cool. So yeah
I would love that too. I mean, I asked the question and then I don't really ever, I mean, yeah, the Frank Ocean I'm really excited for.
If I it ever, we don't know
it'll
for
come
a fact.
Out. It'll come out this year.
He
12
could
months.
D'Angelo. I'm worried he will D'Angelo us.
It's only been 3.5 years. That's not that long.
I know.
Well, he said it was going to come out, last June?
Yeah. July.
July.
Yeah, last July. So it's pretty late, but I mean, whatever. If he's tinkering with it.
He's fine.
I know. I've heard a person who said they heard a song from the album, so.
Wait, you heard a person who
like
heard
I
a
was
song?
Talking to them, like they told me.
Okay.
And that so person
I can't reveal
was
my
Chris
sources.
Payne.
Shut No, but like, so somebody in the world presumably has heard music from Frank Ocean. It just is not me, so.
Yeah, maybe Frank Ocean's heard some new Frank Ocean music.
We can only hope.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Tweet recommendations at us for 2016 stuff. And yeah, have a great week / good luck with the new year and all that stuff.
Aww.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.